Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, I want to thank you for taking this time to spend with me today. Now, today is a hot topic for sure. You may have been, or maybe you are, a bereaver who is very angry at God for allowing your child to leave your arms to be in His. Your initial feelings of being angry or even hating Him for taking your child are reactions to your intense pain that you really don't have much control over. However, it is your choice to remain angry or to remain hating Him when you are months and especially years down the road. Now, we're going to talk more about that. I want to maybe give you a different perspective here. Maybe God did not do this to you, but He did it for your child, even if your child died by their own hands. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about being trapped in the tent of our bodies. Now, we have no idea the true thoughts in our children's minds while they were here. They could have, or maybe you know now that they did, keep those thoughts hidden on purpose to keep you from being pulled down by them or to keep you from feeling guilty for the things they were thinking and feeling. And maybe God wanted to bless them and release them from these tormenting thoughts they were having. Maybe God saw the earthly future of your child and decided to spare them and you from something. In fact, there's a scripture that says that. Now, I just thought of that verse, so I actually paused this recording to go find the scripture because I know you're going to want to know. It really is in the Bible. It is Isaiah 57, verse 1, and it says, "Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to understand why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come." Did you know that scripture was in there? So it's possible that God was blessing your child, believe it or not, by protecting them from the evil to come. So maybe God really didn't do this to you. He did it for your child. It's possible, right? When you read a scripture like that, we do know that in Isaiah 55, we're told, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord." Well, that's certainly true, isn't it, with the death of our child? Maybe God was wanting to bless your child with the absolute greatest blessing possible, which really was to take them out of this world where there is intense pain, chaos, betrayal, sickness, and let them live in a world where not only does none of that stuff exist, but it's the exact opposite. With so much perfection and love, it's way beyond what we can comprehend here. And our children are so very, very happy. They are in total bliss with this blessing from God for them. But obviously, this leaves us with the pain, the intense pain of not understanding. And we still are experiencing the things that they no longer have to deal with. Now, as parents, we want the best for our children, right? I know many of us feel like the best place is here with me. I remember feeling that way. But let's think about it. Is that really true? My child belongs here with me kind of thoughts is really more about ourselves and our pain than it is about them and where they are now and the joy and the perfection that they are experiencing now. We can only see things from our own earthly perspective, which is so very limited. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked God to allow you to imagine seeing your child with Him in heaven, seeing the pure joy radiate on their faces, hearing their laughter ring out, seeing them dancing around, maybe doing some sort of a silly jig? If you're like me and you had a child with a disability, seeing them completely whole and free from anything and everything that had them bound here physically or maybe mentally or emotionally, I can get so happy for Becca when I think this way that it can bring me to tears. Why would I be angry at God for wanting to bless my child like that ahead of my own arrival before blessing me in that way? Is that selfish of me? God, you should have blessed me with heaven first, not my child. That's a totally different way of seeing it, isn't it? If you had a disabled child, you will not have to worry about how they will be taken care of when it is your time to leave this earth. That's really a blessing for you as well. God has given Becca things I could never give her or do for her here with her physical limitations. And He's done that for your child as well, with their physical limitations, their emotional or mental limitations and struggles. He has blessed our children by relieving them of all of this. It's all in our perspective. We can ask God to help us with this. And when He does, we can either choose to allow ourselves to see what He's trying to show us, accept it, and begin to believe it, or we can choose to reject it because we want to stay mad and angry and even choose to hate Him because all we want to see is that I don't have my child here. It hurts and it's His fault. I know we wanted to live out our lives here with them, with us. But God, in His wisdom, in His perfect love, in His all-knowing power, decided to bless our child with a life of perfection before we get to experience it. I will spend time thinking about when I get to join Becca, what it will be like to have her meet me totally healed, totally whole in every way, and all of the things that she's going to be excited to show me and people she wants me to meet. Let's talk about why you might be choosing to stay angry with God. Over the past several years since Becca died, Dave and I have been ministering to bereavers through GPS Hope for over 10 years now, and I've come to see something that seems to make the difference. Those who struggle the most in this area seem to have a relationship with God that is transactional. What we call the parable of the prodigal son was really more about the father. Jesus was sitting with both sinners and self-righteous saints when He told this parable. In that culture, when the son asked for his portion of the inheritance, it wasn't a common thing, as in, I want it now so I can go invest it. It was like saying, I wish you were dead. This son did not see the value in his father or his father's love. And he wanted his money, his inheritance, and he went off and did his own thing. Most of us know the story, that after he moved away, here in the States it would be like moving to Vegas or New York City, and he squandered all that money. There was a famine, and the only job he could find was feeding pigs. To the Jewish culture and to the Jewish law by God, pigs were unclean. Now this son was so hungry that he was even eating the pig's slop, the pig's food. Now this wandering son came to his senses, the scripture says, and prepared a speech about how he had sinned against heaven, he had sinned against God, against his father, and he wasn't worthy of sonship anymore. And he was going to ask if he could be a servant in his dad's household. Now as he was heading home, his dad saw him coming down the road and he ran to meet him. He threw his arms around him. He didn't even let his son finish his prepared speech. And this dad commanded that the best be made ready for his son. The best food. He wanted to throw a big party to celebrate his return. Talk about undeserved grace. Now remember, Jesus was sharing this with a group sitting around him who were both seen as low life in that culture and the religious leaders. Now this kind of grace does not work for religion or what I will call a transactional relationship with God. Religion, or transactional, wants to be in control. There are rules and there are boxes to check so that God owes you. In a transactional relationship with God, you have made yourself right with God by all the things you do for Him. So maybe you received Him with that gift of salvation, but now you are trying to be a good Christian here. So even though we're thankful that Jesus is our Savior, in reality, we are our own Savior when it comes to day-to-day life. We are the ones trying to be in control. I did what I was supposed to do. It may be a convenient way for us to live as a Christian, but it is not Jesus's way. Now, the older son was very upset because his younger brother had left and made a mess of his life, and you are throwing him a big party. I never did any of that, and you never threw me a party. In other words, this older son was saying, I did everything right, and you didn't bless me the way you bless somebody else by letting their child live. They're a drunk. They don't even go to church every week. You fill in the blank what that thing is for you. I did everything right. Why did I lose my child when they're doing everything wrong and they still get to keep their child? Romans 8 says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you don't believe that, I'm guessing it's because you have had more of a transactional relationship with God. If I do this, you're supposed to do that. And God, you didn't come through for me, instead of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. So, how do we go from a transactional relationship that is based more on religion's do's and don'ts to a true intimate relationship with God that is based on His love for us and our love for Him? Well, we're going to talk about that next week, but I do want to share a last thought with you before I go on to a highlighted resource in the weekly birthday segment. This morning, I had a very deep encounter with the Lord. It's bringing me to tears just thinking about it again. I didn't know I was going to have to pull myself back together to share this with you. God wrapped up our time together with a scripture that I want to share with you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says, "Now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to Himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God." I just want to tell you, this is my heart. This is one of the reasons that GPS Hope exists. This is why I do the podcast, why I send out weekly emails, why Dave and I continue to do this after 10 years. It's not easy. I'm sure you know that. It's not easy to be there for those who are carrying such a heavy burden and so much darkness. But I'm going to go on and continue reading to you. "He has entrusted to us," I believe Dave and I in GPS Hope, "the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God Himself were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to Him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with Him." And there's the key. It's in our union with Him. Union means intimacy. Union means a one-on-one personal relationship. I know that many of us in the Christian faith, we are used to that phrase, "No, I'm not religious, I'm in a relationship." And yet, is that really true when it comes down to it? Are you in an intimate relationship with Him that allows Him to come in and be your comfort, that allows you to release the anger with Him, even though we don't understand? So like I said, we're going to continue this conversation next week. I hope you begin to really pray about it and allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit who is in you, to begin to speak to you about this and show you the real true difference. Even as Christians, we think we're in relationship, and we are. We are in relationship, but a lot of us have turned it back into becoming something transactional. So I'm just going to be praying for you this week, that God will begin to reveal some personal things to you. Let's pray right now, as a matter of fact. Father God, we just thank you for the blessing of our children being with you, for the blessing of the things that you are sparing our children from here on this earth. Lord, we're hurting, our hearts are shattered, and Lord, many of us are struggling with being angry at you for allowing this to happen, and we forget the blessing that it is for our children to be with you instead of here with us, even though that hurts. God, help us bring healing to our shattered hearts, and Lord, show us how we can take steps to be in an intimate union with you and not be pushing you away because of our hurt and our anger. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you know that you can have a resource at hand for every day of the month in August if it's a rough month for you? It's not too late to grab a copy of the August edition of Reflections of Hope. You can read each day's entry or just use it for any specific days that you need some extra encouragement and hope to get through the day. Just go to gpshope.org/reflections to find out more about the monthly books or the hardback book that is a full year of walking with you on those days you need that something extra. Now, I will also put a link to that in the show notes. Have you checked out the Pereaver with Hope shirts and hats yet? Dave made a beautiful design of a broken heart pieced back together with the words Pereaver with Hope written across it. Now, in this week's Weekly Word of Hope, you're going to see that design of the broken heart with Pereaver with Hope written across it. So be sure that you open this week's email and that you look at that beautiful design that Dave put together. If you don't get the Weekly Word of Hope, just go to gpshope.org/hope and you'll hear from me every week. Just a message of encouragement that you can read. You can unsubscribe from it anytime you want. I wasn't planning on saying that, but there it is. Now, we put this line of shirts and hats together to give you a chance to show others who you are. We did not choose this journey, but we're choosing to carry our grief with hope, to honor the life of our child while we are slowly learning how to live again. Wearing these shirts and hats isn't just about comfort or style. It's a bold, sacred reminder. We are Pereavers, we are not alone, and we have hope. Be sure to take a minute to look at the beautiful design, check out the different options at gpshope.org/store. Now, all the proceeds from these items go to GPS Hope to help us continue offering support and resources to those Pereavers who find themselves hurled onto this unwanted journey with us. I'll also put a link in the show notes for that, and I'll put a link in where you can sign up for the Weekly Word of Hope. Let's go on to this week's birthday segment. Last week, we only had one birthday to share, and this week, we have several. Daniel Kravitz was born on July 28th and left us at age 32. Easton Holden was born on July 28th and left us at age 39. Joey Ray was born on July 28th and left us at age 26. Dane Sturm was born on July 29th and left us at age 21. Lauren Miller Dobbins was born on July 30th and left us at age 33. As always, we celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day for these families, and so we celebrate with them. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the listeners on the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Just fill out the information there, submit it, and I will share your child with the listeners the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. The link for that will be in the show notes as well. You can choose to continue being angry at God for allowing your child to leave your arms to be in His, or you can choose to thank God, even in your horrible and suffocating pain, that your child gets to experience more peace, more joy, more love than they could have ever experienced here with us before we get to experience it. I heard a dad once say something along the line of, "I can't be angry at God. Everyone loved being around my daughter and wanted to be with her, and God wanted to be around her as well." I referenced Romans 8 earlier about how nothing can separate us from the love of God, and I want to read that scripture to you. This is going to be in the Amplified Version. "Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and we gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities and rulers of power, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I believe that a lot of us were very familiar with this scripture before our child died, and we were in agreement with this scripture. Do you realize that we were in agreement that death cannot separate us from His love? We were in agreement that things to come, and we did not know that things to come meant the death of our child, that we were in agreement that things to come cannot separate us from God's love. As it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through the love that Christ has for us. And this is not based on head knowledge of the Word, but heart knowledge of God Himself. May you know Him and the fullness of His love for you in a way that dissolves your anger at Him and gives you peace in the midst of your pain, as only He can do. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.